dare wait days for your winnings. Cash out instantly with BetRivers' new feature, Rush Pay. Get your cash when you want it at BetRivers Sportsbook, the industry leader with exclusive bets, daily specials, odds boost, and the most in-play betting options out there. Get a $250 match bonus, fastest payouts, only one-time playthrough at BetRivers, your hometown book. Not valid in Iowa, but good in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Play SugarHouse.com in Jersey. Must be 21.
Good feedback on today's program. FTM at vsin.com is the email. This is from Tom asking about a conference tournament prop. He's suggesting one, actually. Use Lenardi's bracket as of March 7th. How many bracket buster teams will win their conference championship to secure an auto bid?
Bid thieves.
And knock out an ad? Yeah, there
good.
You go.
Yes. How many bid thieves?
Over under 2.5.
That's my exact same number. Yep, very good. Excellent.
You think Drake's going to make it?
I do. Assuming they win these next two games. I also want to see over under a half forfeit games. I'll make it one. How many forfeits in the tournament?
You mean once we get to the field of 68?
Once the tournament begins, no team will replace a team that has a COVID issue and can no longer participate. If its opponent would advance to the next round via the no contest rule, the field comes out Sunday, March 14th.
What was your reaction when you read that news yesterday?
I couldn't believe it. But it's what are you going to do, though? What are you going to do? You can't put the tournament on pause, you know?
So I'm trying to think
here. It's like the NBA where if you have a win total bet, you're up against it, especially if it's the Spurs or the Grizzlies. You're not going to play 40 games in 65 days, whatever it is.
Yeah.
If one team goes on pause, they ruin it for everybody else. The playoffs are set. The play-in games are set. You're going to get refunds all over the place in the NBA, likely.
The new schedule for March Madness is really screwed with my equilibrium. I can't keep it memorized. So I'll just say, don't we have like Sweet 16 games on like a Monday and a Tuesday this year, the way they flipped it? You imagine that on a Monday night, the Sweet 16's underway, and that like 3:30 Pacific time?
You imagine if it's like a Baylor or somebody?
We're getting ready to throw it up.
We got an issue. Baylor has to forfeit.
It's Baylor and Iowa going at it tonight on a Monday night in prime time. Oh, hold on a second here. They have three guys now with COVID.
Yep. This is from Rod in Ontario about our tipping and what happened to Jeff Benson. Do the employees tip customers who are on a losing streak? Why do they expect large tips, especially from new customers who may only go to Vegas once a year or once in a lifetime? A guy wins $250,000, he's expected to tip 10%. Ask his kids if they need the money more than the employee. Ask the guy 2 months later if he wished he had some of the tip money back. Expected tips are the new normal. I'm often insulted in some places I see tip jars. As Mr. Pink says in Reservoir Dogs, how about the guy who helps you out picking out clothes or whatever and work, waits on a customer for 15 minutes at a store? Does he get anything? Rod in Ontario. The other thing, too, I started seeing, and it didn't happen until I moved out here 20 years ago, tip jars at fast food places, tip jars at Subway, sandwich places, tanning salons, whatever. I once saw a tip jar at a Burger King drive-thru. I said, get that thing out of there.
I've seen them at drive-thrus before.
Come on now.
And I'll tell you right now that coffee shops have no shame. They'll put them out there every single time. Do you see a McDonald's drive-thru usually with a tip jar? Negative. Huh. You never do.
Coffee, good
Starbucks,
point.
Starbucks, whatever, every single time. You know, if you can spare a little bit.
Bring that up with JVT next time, yeah.
Oh, he's dynamite on that.
Yes.
Yeah. We will get into today's card and much more on the potentially crazy offseason in the NFL.
This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Utah Jazz have won 20 of their last 24 games, 20 of those 22 wins by double figures. They're laying 6.5 today at Miami. The Heat have won 4 straight, the total 217.5 at American Airlines Arena. Lakers have dropped 4 straight in 5 of their last 6 games. They're a 5.5-point home favorite today against Portland at the Staples Center, total 221.5. In the NHL, the Boston Bruins, $1.60 road favorite of the New York Rangers. The Kings have won 6 straight. They're a $1.45 dog at Minnesota. They're laying $1.65 and have won 4 straight games. The total is 5.5, and that is juice to the under. VSiN experts are analyzing all the hoops, hockey, tennis, and soccer action every day to help make you a sharper better. Right now, you can get everything we have to offer, including our upcoming bracket betting guide through the College Hoops Finals for just $50. Invest in your sports betting success today, vsin.com/subscribe. With your action update, I'm Mike Senna.
Get the latest VSiN odds at vsin.com. And remember, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
time to follow the money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Polly Howard.
Hey, welcome into the program. It is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Polly Howard, Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. By the way, so if you missed the program like 15 minutes ago, we had a new guest on for the very first time, Doug, the prop bet guy, who was very good. He was tremendous in the NFL, very good in the NBA. Some of the feedback we're getting on Twitter. He gave out a Pascal Siakam prop over 20 and a half points. As soon as he was talking about it, the juice moved from $1.08 to $1.22 at one book. Another person says, you got to get this guy on a regular basis. Been telling him early on since the NFL season, has not let me down yet.
Really?
Very solid addition to the guest list. Yep.
How'd you find him?
Twitter.
Yeah?
Yeah. Somebody tagged me.
Prop bet guy. Good handle.
It's a great handle.
There you go. And that this is what he does. Yes, it is. I love it. He does NFL. And did you get a response? Does he do baseball? Do we know that? We'll find out. But yeah. Well, fingers crossed. This is great. Just does props. NFL, NBA. Phenomenal.
Well, there are some people that I follow on Twitter who are tremendous at betting K-props during the baseball season.
Yes.
That is something that we have to do of more this year, like on a daily basis, the K-props that stand out. And again, hopefully they're going to be out like early in the morning. They should be. Usually we know the starting pitchers that day. How nuts is this offseason potentially going to be in the NFL?
I'm hoping this happens. I know, number one, I want, you know, forget our bet. I want Watson out of Houston. It's enough already. It's not intriguing. It's not interesting if he stays there. They're going to be awful, right? And you just saw what happened this past season. It's like J.J. Watt walking off the field. Sorry, we ruined, wasted two of your career years here. Mm-hmm. But the report's hilarious that teams are calling nonstop. Houston won't pick up the phone or call them back. That teams have resorted to leaving voicemail messages, which imagine. Okay, guys, I'll make it quick. We'll give you our number one, our number two, another number one, two players. Call me back. But this is in the report yesterday that he walked in with Culley, the new coach, last week and says, I'm out. I don't want to be here. That's it. And then he had the tweet, loyalty means everything. Don't ever forget it. Never was capitalized. I don't know what that means. Ambiguous. But in any events, let's go. Let's get this done. And then the Wilson news. I mean, to think this happens on the same day. Good job. But then the Wilson news where, you know, The Athletic had their report that came out. And the one tweet, the marriage between Wilson and the Seahawks has been successful. Just about any way you slice it. But in year 10, the relationship's rocky. It leaves us with a question. What happened? And then he gets the big contract, and then they haven't done much the last couple of years, although he still put up good numbers. But remember how good their offense was. Their defense was a joke to start the season.
Yeah, of course.
But then that one quote in the article saying, well, he's got the big contract. He's elite now. He's looked at as elite. You have to do it by yourself, kind of like Aaron Rodgers and other guys. And now the pressure's on him, and he doesn't like it. And then they had a meeting. He wanted input on personnel. He wanted to share some of his thoughts and wanted to take a larger role with the organization, and he stormed out of the room, was the report that came out yesterday. So then he doesn't say, I want to trade. He says, I still want to stay in Seattle, but if it doesn't work out or you move, you get a great offer, whatever. Here's my list, which just is inviting these four teams, handing it to you on a platter. Huh? Are you man enough to take it? Huh? These are the leads. Here are your leads. Chicago Bears, let's go. Make a move, Pace. Come on. I was surprised at the list. Shocked at who's on it. Surprised it's only four teams. But the Vegas Raiders, the Bears, the Cowboys, and the Saints. I would love to see Wilson traded.
You want to know why I'm buying this? That his wife, was Ciara?
Yeah.
Why I think she might be behind this? That is a wife-like move. And I can tell you this as a guy who's been married now for coming up on 11 years. That is something that tell him that you're okay coming back.
Oh, okay.
But in case it doesn't work out, okay. Tell him that here's a list that you'd like to go to.
Well, I like the Ryan Russillo tweet. I love my wife, but here are four women I'd leave her for. I mean, that kind of...
Sure.
It's like the same...
They were coming in fast and furious. I don't want to have pizza tonight, but if I do, I want pepperoni, sausage, and onion. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that was a thought, too, about maybe, I don't know where her career's at, but she used to be successful. I don't know what's going on with her, but she was a successful singer. But all the reports were not that long ago that would be New York. Or maybe you go to one of a bigger market, and definitely New York. Not on the list. Chicago on the list. Strange. And I guess she's from Texas. Why you see the Cowboys on there? But the Cowboys have a quarterback, at least.
Right.
But could they work out something there? I don't know. It would be difficult. It'd be tricky to make the move with the cap numbers and everything else. But if they come in with a Godfather offer, come on, if you're Seattle, you have to listen. I mean, you always have to listen,
of
no matter what.
You do.
Come on.
And by the way, that's another thing.
You're not doing
your
job if you don't listen. And the Texans aren't doing their job.
What
the Texans are doing is ridiculous.
The list is peculiar from Wilson because other than the Saints, and again, I don't see the Saints thing happening. I don't think they can pull it off. They are just destroyed. It's like they have been, burying more dirt on the salary cap grave they've been digging out for a couple of years, and I don't think they can pull it off. Other than the Saints, does Wilson not want to win more Super Bowls? Like, if he goes to the Cowboys, I'm sorry, they're not winning a Super Bowl next year. If he goes to the Raiders, they're not coming out of the AFC next year. If he goes to the Bears, nice uptick, but are the Bears the best? They would need some... Like, the list of teams does not exactly scream contender. You can win a Super Bowl tomorrow if you come over here.
Yeah.
Are any of these situations better than Seattle? Where he's at?
Well, he's sick of the offensive line. Yeah. He's sick of the beating he takes every year. He's sick of let's play 1992 football and establish the run and all this other business.
I think he's sick of the coaching staff.
Sure, and he finally has toys.
Yep.
Again, I know they were winning games, a big part because they had a nasty defense. I still think he was underrated that, and I think he's underrated here, and he was definitely back in the day. But look what he was throwing to there. Curse, Baldwin, some of these guys? Nah, come on. And now you have Metcalf and Lockett, and now Carroll wants to rein him in and put the training wheels on.
Which is more likely to happen? Wilson goes or Watson goes?
Watson goes. That can't be salvaged.
I just think that they're so stubborn. I don't think they're going to, at this point, they're not even talking to people. They're not even picking up the phone.
Well, they have to realize now. I mean, they might be, it's a horrible organization, I think you'll see how they run it anyways. But I think you'll see eventually, I'm not showing up. Okay. Yeah. I'm not playing for you.
I could also see Wilson, this thing turning into a little bit of what happened with Kobe, that infamous day when he was on airwaves early on in the morning and he said, I want to be traded. Get me out of here.
Well, there was a little smoke early.
Later on that night, he said, what is this? What is it? This is crazy talk. I want to be a Laker for the rest of my life.
Yeah, that was bizarre. But right. But that was, and Jerry Buss had a deal worked out to the Pistons. And the last second.
I could see Wilson like saying, I want to be a Seahawk my entire life in like a couple of weeks.
Well, the interviews then? Why do the circuit? I'm unhappy about this.
Somebody's in his ear.
Okay.
Somebody's telling him to do this stuff.
Well, I don't care who's. I want to see him trade. I love that. Points bet, he's minus 2,500 to take his next snap with the Seahawks. Raiders are 4-1. Bears are 20-1. Carolina 14. Patriots 18. But it's tricky where you look at some of these teams. There's only four teams on the list. What do you do with the teams that aren't on the list? Saints 7-1, along with Miami and the Jets.
Yeah,
Carolina's intriguing. Carolina's going to be a player. They want a quarterback in the worst way. Also, great timing too. With some of it's BS, and they just want to get clickbait and all that other stuff. But Kuiper coming out, he's got four quarterbacks in the top nine in all these trades. And
I think it was five quarterbacks.
You're right. You're five quarterbacks in the top nine. You are correct. He's got this love affair with Mac Jones now. But the Graziano tweet, he met with the new coach. He reiterated he wants to be traded. He has no intention of playing for the Texans again. He's dug in. He must go public soon and lay it all out. Here's why I feel this way. Because I signed this monster contract. I'm emotional. As Lombardi points out, you already traded Hopkins. Why do you feel this way? What happened? Go scorched earth on the organization. Then everyone will have his back.
Well, okay, so this report by Diana Russini from ESPN, she tweeted out yesterday, Houston continues to avoid conversations with teams in regards to trading him. They are refusing to trade their franchise quarterback. They have to have a face-to-face with him ASAP. And maybe he's completely unwilling to do that.
Who's they?
The team
the GM,
does.
Probably isn't, okay.
Yep.
Well, the last time happened, they ignored him and everything he asked for.
Sure. I would say the GM, and I would say as many players as possible on the Texans. Can we have a sit down, please? Can we meet? Can you please come into the facility? We want to talk.
Well, who's a respected guy who used to play there and doesn't say much? Andre Johnson. Remember his tweet?
Yeah.
He had his back.
But like Michael Lombardi's been saying this from day one. He signed his contract after they traded DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, yeah, something happened. And we know what happened. Is it? But maybe there's more to the story. Hire Bieniemy, interview Bieniemy, look at these guys for GMs. No, we're not going to listen to you. Okay. So you have to ask him. He needs to have a sit down with somebody.
Now, this is a very creative job, by the way.
As a reporter, I mean, sit down and talk. Yeah. I want to hear his side of it.
Nick Bogdanovich comes on with us on Mondays from William Hill. They put up four different prop bets for the NFL draft. Okay, so this is very good. The position for the last quarterback selected in the first round, it's 15.5. So where? Right? Do you think Trask is going to sneak in at like 29? I say he's not a first-round pick. So then what happens to Jones? Does he just sneak in right there? It's the Patriots at 15?
Mm-hmm.
Does he go 15 to the Patriots, or does he potentially slide? Like McShay for ESPN, he has him going 28th overall, and I've been saying that all week, I think. But what if Jones falls out of the second round? If that's a possibility, because the other four guys might go all top 10. And they also have a prop up. Will they actually go top four? The first four picks of the draft to be quarterbacks. And there is a path to that happening, Paulie. Obviously, Lawrence going number one overall.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what the Jets do. They can take a quarterback or they can trade out and another team can come in and get Zach Wilson. The Dolphins probably need to trade out at number three.
They will.
And then the Falcons could be like, okay, well, we're going to take Trey Lance at number four because Matt Ryan only has maybe 1 year left. Or whatever the thinking is there.
Why would the Dolphins keep that pick?
There's no reason.
There's no reason to keep that pick.
No.
They're trading. So, I'm picking up what you're putting down. The other thing that could happen, these have moved in the last 24 hours. That was 9-1 down to 8. Wilson to go ahead of Fields. It was $7. Now it's $4.40. And Fields to go ahead of Lance. That was 1-10. That was 1,000 to win 100. And now it's 550. Almost cut in half. Which I could see, McShay has that. I could see Lance going ahead of Fields. Who knows what Atlanta does it for? And then does Carolina take Lance or does someone else make a trade? But
that would be quite the drop for Fields.
Yeah.
I mean, if
there are people who are bothered by the fact that Wilson's going to go ahead of Fields likely, and that's I thought $7 was too high. But there are people that are just incredulous that Wilson has more hype and Wilson's going to probably go two to the Jets unless they get Watson.
It's amazing how people overreact in this country. It really is. If you go back to the Clemson game.
That's right.
All the talk after that game, well, Lawrence sliding, Fields now could be the number one overall pick. Actually, you can see teams making the case for Fields to go number one, what people were saying, right? And now all of a sudden, Ohio State gets blasted by Alabama in the national title game. Fields, not so much anymore. Could drop, could be the fourth quarterback taken in the first round. Is he really going to slide? No offense to Lance. Is Fields going to go below Lance? There was a great tweet.
You never know. Look where Trubisky went. You never know. It takes is one team.
We got to do more on that next week. Football. Here's the Andre Johnson tweet, by the way. And it was retweeted by DeAndre Hopkins. Johnson said... If I'm Deshaun Watson, I'm going to stand my ground. The Texans organization is known for wasting players' careers.
Uh-huh.
Since Easterby walked into
let me stop you. Freeze it. That's the guy. This guy's the whole problem, too. No one likes this Easterby guy.
Mm-hmm.
No one likes him. And I don't even think he has a football background. Okay, sorry. Continue.
That
guy's walked in the building. Nothing good has happened for the organization. Nothing. Pathetic. And then Hopkins says, when Dre speaks, listen. There you go. Something going on. And this Easterby character is a big problem with everybody.
Yep. I'm trying to find this tweet from Pro Football Perspective. I did not realize this. You know, we blast a certain conference in college football all the time. The quarterback play has gotten a lot better in the SEC over the years. But they sent out the list of first-round quarterbacks taken out of the Big Ten in history.
Yeah.
I got to get that. We got to do that more next week because we're almost at the end of it today. You should see this list. Brady doesn't count. He wasn't a first-round pick, obviously.
Oh, brutal?
First of all, it's tiny.
Well, it's a 50-50 to begin with, if quarterback number one.
For sure.
If the guy's going to be a good player.
But the fact that the list going back to like the 70s was not that deep of a list.
Okay.
And then how many guys have actually, you know, that were first-round picks from the Big Ten translated in the NFL? Not many.
The other one, the Eagles have to go wide receiver. I would think the Eagles, that would be Chase. That has to be a wide receiver. Has to.
Whichever one is available there.
Right. And I know the Bengals fans are going crazy if they can get Sewell at 5 for Burrow.
Well, that's why.
That is huge.
Bengal fans, when we talk about this prop up at William Hill, where the first 4 picks all be quarterbacks, Bengal fans are like this. Oh, God, please. Because they want Sewell to drop to number 5 to them. Of course. I mean, their franchise guy goes down because the offensive line was a rotating door last year. They were a total sieve.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes a lot of sense. I wonder what we talked draft last year because that's all that was going on for the entire month of April. Will we have more props this year? So far, so good. 2 months out, a lot to talk about, a lot to get down on, a lot of bets to make. And we can only see more, obviously, as the weeks continue for this
draft.
Bad boy.
Kings, you got William Hill, and you had the offshore book that came out with second quarterback, third quarterback, second player taken overall, third player taken overall.
Yep.
And then Chase ahead of Smith, Chase $1.50.
That's very good.
Yep, very good. I agree.
Teddy Greenstein's going to join the program coming up next with points bets. Are they taking any handle on the FCS this weekend? And we have to talk to him about odds for Wilson's next team. The Bears 20-1. Does that make sense? It's coming up. Program, follow the money here. Mitch Moss, Paulie Howard. Teddy Greenstein joins the program now with points bets. Teddy, good morning. As always, thanks for the time. We appreciate it. We've touched on this prop like 3 or 4 times throughout the show today with the news of maybe Russell Wilson wanting out of Seattle. Points bet put up a prop yesterday. Next team Wilson will take a snap for. Seattle favorite at minus $25, and the Raiders were the next team on the list at plus $4, all the way down to the Bears at plus 20-1, which we were making a case for. I mean, come on, make this happen already, right? Give up the draft picks if that's what it's going to take.
Yeah, I mean, the Bears love to do that. I mean, they love to trade up. You know, they certainly did it with Trubisky. You know, then they were desperate and grabbed Foles. I saw something on Twitter yesterday with Russell Wilson in a Bears jersey, and that had people salivating. I hate to say we. I mean, I grew up in New York, a Jets fan, but I feel so associated with Chicago and the Bears now. I mean, you could say we haven't had a good quarterback since, what, Jim McMahon? I mean, Eric Kramer had one good year statistically, but it's been such a drought. So the concept that you could get Russell Wilson, who's probably got at least a half dozen good years left, would be amazing for the Bears. Now, I don't know if they'd surround him with anything, but it was certainly an exciting idea. Now, here's the thing. I don't think you'll find that prop being offered on PointsBet anymore, because once Adam Schefter tweeted that Russell Wilson's agent says he has not requested a trade, our traders took that offering down.
Okay, so it was up for a minute, came down, and then I guess it gets back into the news cycle. It's something that you guys might reconsider at that point. We have a very busy schedule of FCS games. I know you wrote a blog post for PointsBet. What do you think of the weekend's games that we have on tap here? And do you think you're going to see more handle this weekend than last weekend?
Yeah, Mitch, a little heartbroken that Coach Prime will not be able to go 2-0 against Mississippi Valley State because Mississippi Valley has a COVID issue. So we had to take that game off the board. But I was pretty stubborn. I led my story with it, and we had Prime in the headlines. So sticking with that. One thing I noticed, did you know that the North Dakota State Bison have won 39 games in a row? So they're going for 40 this week. They're 6.5-point favorites over Southern Illinois. But we've got a full slate, man, at PointsBet. We're offering action on 24 FCS games. I think our motto is, if it's football, we'll have a point spread.
It's a good motto to have. Now, also, like, television networks need to have that same motto, right? If it's football, we'll put it on.
Yeah,
now, I looked at it. I think ESPN Plus or ESPN 3 is offering coverage of like half the slate. So it's pretty good. So, I mean, if you want a football fix this weekend, it's still basically wall to wall. So check it out. It's not like we have, you know, 119 offerings on these games. It's a slimmed down package, but obviously spread, money line, overs, unders, and we do have points betting on, I think, all these games.
Okay, well, very good. Your thoughts on Big Ten basketball. Your team, Northwestern, got a nice win last night, and we saw some of the big boys go at it as well. Michigan, impressive yet again, and I said it yesterday, I'll say it again, I'm not buying Iowa.
Yeah, I mean, Mitch, one thing happened last night that's unexpected and one thing that's totally expected. So the unexpected was Northwestern winning, although I had them on the money line, plus five in my betting group yesterday. I said, come on, this is the night. It's been since December, and Minnesota's not very good and banged up. So Northwestern did that for me. Michigan wasn't very surprising because that Michigan offense is so hard to handle. And Iowa, certainly not a one-trick pony, but when Garza struggles and has a tough game, not enough shooting right now to get it done. So Michigan looks like a totally elite team. The one that stung me was Michigan State, Ohio State. Total coin flip pick. I ended up going to Ohio State. I'm a little bitter. I felt like Dwayne Washington, that drive with 7 seconds left, I thought he got bumped. I thought he should have been able to go to the line to try to tie the game. But yeah, the least surprising thing last night was Fran McCaffrey ranting and raving at the end. The Iowa coach always getting pissed off,
of course, pointing.
And seemingly always getting technical fouls.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, there's a big win for Sparty again last night. What kind of promos and boosters do you guys have going on this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, one of our big things, of course, is Make It Rain, the Page Make It Rain game. And we haven't revealed today's, but I can probably give you a little hint. It'll be a Big Ten game. The interesting one for Saturday is Paige. Follow her on Instagram for many reasons. One of the reasons you should is you can help select the Saturday Page Make It Rain game. Right now it's neck and neck between Baylor, Kansas, and Duke, Louisville. And you guys know, I'm sure, about the Make It Rain deal, but you just put a spread bet on either side, $50 or more, and then you root for your team to make a bunch of threes because you get $3 in free bets for every three-pointer they make. So it's a great way to bet. You know, even if you lose the pick, you end up with probably, you know, $30 in free bets. Although last night, Ohio State and Michigan State did not make it rain. Each team only made 4 3-pointers. Still $12 in free bets for whatever side you had.
Teddy, thanks for the time. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you, Mitch. Take care, guys.
Okay.
In Pocket Plays coming up next. It is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Time now for our in-pocket plays that we have for today. To recap last night's action, Knicks first half, a winner. I mean, my God, they had 77 points at halftime against the Kings.
That's 11 in a row first half. Tibbs, baby!
Solid winner there. Scratch off the Rockets-Raptors under. That was tentative. I'm not playing that game as of right now. I'm betting the Kings plus 155 against the Wild tonight in the NHL.
Good for you.
Kings plus 155. Again, the six-game winning streak. They've been dogs in every single one of them. I think it's too high of a number tonight. So there you go.
All right. I had the pending. Great discussion with Matt Vasgersian yesterday. Yankees under. Win total. Mets under. Twins under. And give me Bradley plus 9 today against Drake. It's squeaky bum time. You know, these teams know they're on the bubble. You saw what happened to Belmont last night. So, you know, I know the goal here is Drake just wants to win the game. But they have to win by double digits? No. I say no. If you're a horse racing fan, First Bet's the place for you. Wagering on races at over 300 tracks, AI-assisted picks, easiest way to bet on your favorite sport. Secure payments, great customer service, reliable website. All brought to you by ExpressBet. Promo code VEGAS150. Download the First Bet. Download the app now. Promo code VEGAS150. Get a $150 match bonus after you bet 150 within the first 30 days. Promo code VEGAS150. Quickly, we'll go win-lose with some bad beats. Boise State plus 7. Tough for Richie and under 137.5. They lost by 12 in overtime. They scored 3 points in the overtime.
Well, I mean, they're getting blasted for much of that game.
Yep.
They come back to make it a game. And then, of course, the last thing on the planet that you want, if you have Boise, and we know plenty of people who did, is overtime.
Yep. Capitals, Penguins under 6.5. Are you kidding me? 1-0 with 16 minutes left. 5-2 final. Exploded. Ton of goals.
That was, by the way, the Bruins-Islanders game was 2-2 in the third. Mm. And I couldn't even... It was another goal, another goal, another goal, another 7-2 final.
Like, how about the Stars? Plus 115, led 2-0 with 7 minutes left. Lost the game in regulation. Florida put 3 past them. How about your beat? Tell people about your beat in the Milwaukee
game. Of course. I had Pelicans plus 3.5 for the first quarter. It's 32-31. Giannis, of all guys, Giannis, 30-footer at the buzzer. Bam, right in my eye. 35-31. And then, by the way, the Pelicans covered the first half and the game, but first quarter, no, they don't cover because Giannis goes from 30. Incredible.
That guy,
I love him, but to make a 30-footer at the buzzer?
Tough one, my friend. All right, let's go to the videos. Jackpot sent in from a viewer. Follow the Money Army. Look at this. Guy goes to a local pub. Next, the guy next to him pops this for $40,000. 5-2. Look at that. And he holds the ace. He held the ace, and that's it. And it came 10 jack, king, queen of diamonds, $40,000. Oh, my God. Oh, what a feeling.
I asked the guy who sent this in, because, again, it was a stranger who sat down next to him, and he hit this. I'm like, so you're best friends now? Is that what happens?
That's bad.
I would love to see your reaction. Yeah. You would throw things.
Yeah. No.
You'd probably put the guy in the rear naked choke.
No, man of the people. All right.
Yeah, that's exactly who you are.
This is great. This is going up on Instagram at Pauly Does Vegas. Look at the pug, the puppy. Oh, it's just boxing out the other dogs and will not give up his food. He's look at the bull's bigger than he is. And he jumps on the food and he sits on it and then he's boxing up.
Is there audio on this?
You can't have any. Yeah, there is.
Because it's got to be. This is one of my favorite videos that we've had in a long time.
Yeah.
It's tremendous, though, with the way he's slapping that.
Right.
Look at that. What's he doing?
The owner's, are you going to share? The owner's saying, are you going to share? Are you going to help out? No.
He's trying to bury himself in the food.
Right. And when they come over, he's got, there it is again.
Come
get
on,
out of my face. Right. I love it. Here, another guy coming over. Look at this. No. And he jumps in. I could watch it all day. It's a minute. We'll put it on Instagram. It's over 90 seconds. I love that video. And this is Luis from Mount Pleasant, Iowa, sent this in. With a dog, the cat's on the outside. You're a tough guy now. Yeah, with his glass, huh? Yeah, yeah.
You want to go?
You want a piece of me?
Huh?
That's good. And there are dogs, and there are huskies, this is called. You see, they got the two smart dogs here. Well, huskies are very intelligent, but here it's... Okay, I respect the mop. I understand what's going on. I can't come over. You're mopping, all right? I respect the mop, and I'll put my... I want to come in and say hello. And the husky looks around. What? No big thing. All right, over. What's the big deal? He just sits down on the carpet.
The husky's looking around like, am I missing something here?
Yeah, right. What's the big deal?
Do you not see that you can simply step over this mop over on the left side?
I love the reaction of the other two dogs. Hey, what's he doing? Respect the mop. Come on. I don't get it. And this was yesterday at the McCarran Airport out here. The lady's ready to take off. Her flight's going to leave. She hits a $300,000 jackpot. How about that? And I don't know what game she was playing. But that's a good one for Mike Palm. Because what if it's only like a $1,300 jackpot and she's going to miss her flight and there's not another flight that leaves? And then also, what's the reaction? Yeah, that's the other great thing about it. Look, everyone gathered out. Gather around, guys. Look what she did. Yeah.
And that was your big boy.
She was calm, cool, and collected, too. Oh, my one. I can't believe it. I mean, $300,000. I don't even know what she's playing. I can't see.
It's possible that she had no idea she won $300,000.
Absolutely. You just think you get a jackpot.
Yeah.
Can someone walk around and show the game if you're going to take the video too? Or what she's... Come on. That's bizarre. Win, lose.
Not a veteran move there on the
no.
Camera person.
Mixes all. Plenty of, okay, Ryan. So this goes back earlier. John sent this in and we talked about it with 30 seconds of perspective. A athlete or celebrity that would stop on the coming to the Vegas casino floor and stop all action. Ryan says Eminem. No.
No, he would not.
No,
he'd be unrecognizable.
No. Dwayne says Kiss and full makeup. Well, yes. Andrew says Hulk Hogan, Lady Gaga, and Will Smith.
I would completely disagree.
On all of them?
No, maybe Hogan. Lady Gaga has too many looks. You don't know what she's going to look like next time you see her.
Yep. Rod also chimes in on the horn or the people that can aggravate you at the drive-thru. He doesn't like the people that get the 8 drinks and the 4 bags. Obviously, they're ordering for other people. Go inside. Concur. I see it.
Yeah. Okay, so if you have like a family in the car, or if you are large actually order. Picking up stuff at the house, whatever.
Well, yeah, especially if it's lunchtime and it's busy, you got to go in. I mean, that big order, you're holding everything up.
Well, here's what also...
That drives me crazy. It happens all the time where you got 2-3 cars behind you, and the guy's sitting there, okay, all right, what do I want? Do you have this? No. Do you have... No. I mean, you have an idea game plan. Have an idea what you're doing. Script the place.
Last time that you actually parked and went into like a fast food place?
Burger King. You have to do it.
Okay.
With the stuff on the app with the large orders.
Okay. Because
I'm like Derek Stevens. I like to have stuff for a couple days.
I'm telling you, people, and you're one of these people, you're so lazy in general. You refuse to go in.
Right.
There is a CVS next to my house. If I need to go there and get something in the drive-thru, there will be 7 cars in the drive-thru every single time.
Uh-huh.
I'll say there's no chance I'm waiting. I will park and go inside physically to the pharmacy, and there's a grand total of 0 people waiting in line.
Sure, but I got news for you. The drive-thru is usually quicker than going in, even if there's 5 cars in line. Some of them are like the Chick-fil-A. I mean, these are so, you know, McDonald's, before they had the chicken tenders, they make you wait. I mean, they're very good. In and out. Set it up. Let's go. Knock them out. Fast. Come on. Move it. Keep it moving.
Lou Finocchiaro on the program next. Been scorching hot with his UFC plays. We'll find out who he likes tomorrow night. Coming up next. Sign up today for the DraftKings Sportsbook. Get a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Simply download the app, sign up using the promo code VSIN, and get started with the only top-rated sportsbook that matters, DraftKings. You can bet on it. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, or in Indiana, it's 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full terms and conditions. Here we go now. He is a freight train. Get out of his way. Lou Finocchiaro joins the program. Follow him on Twitter. He is at GamLou to talk about tomorrow night's UFC card. Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You, as always, and for people who don't know, you can get Lou's write-ups on every single UFC card in Point Spread Weekly. You can get it at vsin.com/subscribe. You had a terrific breakdown of the fights that you put in there this week, including the Vince Cachero fight against Ronnie Lawrence, explaining why you like Cachero as a dog. The floor is yours, my friend. Tell us why.
Thank you. We have a few fights, so I'll try and be brief. The Point Spread Weekly will give you a list of details. But in this fight, we have Ronnie Lawrence, who's the favorite, making his debut fight in the UFC. And there are jitters with debut fights. Meanwhile, Vince Cachero, he's making his second fight. And just like a football team improves drastically between game one and game two, so too does UFC fighters when they get that debut behind them. Cachero's debut fight was a 2-day notice fight against a huge featherweight fighter. Now, Cachero's a 135er, so he took a 145-pound fight on 2 days' notice against Jamal Emmers, who is a really large man for 45, and he was one-sided beaten. That said, now the UFC turns around and gives him an opportunity to earn his place in the UFC with a full camp against a man making his debut in his weight class. I think this is a really good spot for Cachero as an underdog.
I like it. Mm. I'm absolutely on board. You always lean towards the dogs, or you bet more dogs than anything else, which is great. You like De La Rosa +120 in that neighborhood. Why do you like him?
Actually, De La Rosa is, her name is Montana. She's a female.
Sorry.
There's a couple female fights today. All good. She's fighting a Brazilian gal. Maria Buena Silva. This should be a really, really interesting fight. The over is lined 225, and these ladies usually tend to go long. However, De La Rosa did something different. Also in the UFC, she went to Elevation in Denver to train completely, solely focused for this fight. Buena Silva is a specialist on the floor with BJJ. Montana De La Rosa must keep this standing. And the way she's going to do that is with her frame. She's the taller woman, the younger woman, and she's going to have reach with legs and arms. Montana De La Rosa keeps this on the feet, keeps Buena Silva at bay. I think she's live as she can be. Buena Silva's lost her last two coming into this one. I think Montana is in a really good spot as well.
You've hit a couple of these as well. Maybe some pizza money on another female fight with Yoder 3-1. Explain why.
Yeah, this one, this is a great fight because it's a rematch from about 5 years ago when Hill was maybe 30 years old and Yoder was just coming into the organization. And Hill won a very close decision. Since then, both ladies have improved, but Yoder's the one that's really still on the improve, while Hill has struggled, lost her last two as well. Yoder's the taller woman, the longer woman, and in a rematch like this, I would look for Hill to come maybe 160, 170 as a favorite. 300 seems obtuse to me, and I think Yoder's in a fine position to make the upset here. That over is even more obtuse, yeah. Gentlemen. Over 2.5 minus 365. I mean, the price is still good enough on Yoder at 300 that you don't have to take her by decision. But if you want to scratch out another $1.50, you could choose to go that route.
Yeah. I love it when you give out some of these bombers, like you had Lewis against Blades. And I thought the price on Lewis anyway was, I don't think you can make him that big of a dog against too many people fighting, you know, that live on this planet, to be quite honest. I mean, because he's got that knockout power, and you called him last week Inside the Distance. And look, Lou, I mean, I thought Blades was super confident after round one because it really went his way, especially late in that round. But all it takes is one shot from Lewis, man, and there's nothing that anybody can do about that if he hits you in the right spot.
That's correct, and as well, all Lewis trained for was the shoot, meaning the wrestler shooting in to take the takedown. And so he didn't see much of that in the first round. Once Blades got a little comfortable, thought he was keeping him at bay with his length, mm-hmm. he was going to try, and Lewis knew he was going to, and about the second time he did, he caught him and put him out.
Another dog, not this 3-1, but you've hit these the last couple of weeks with a 2-1 and a plus 180. How about Kroom, well, in that same ballpark here as a dog?
Gentlemen, the most lucrative position for underdogs in the UFC is from plus 100 to plus 200, and there's many reasons we can explain why at another date. This one fits right in. Kroom is the hard-hitting hillbilly, and he actually has more experience than does Caceres, who's one of the longest tenured fighters in the UFC. Caceres is slick. He moves well. He's fluid. He really wants to keep it a distance and piece Kroom up. Kroom is a dirty, mangy, fighting dog. He asked for this fight against Caceres. He fights out of a gym in St. Louis. It's real hot right now. And I think Kroom is in a really live position here against a guy in Caceres. If Kroom gets this thing to the mat, I think he can finish him. But I'll settle for Kroom as a dog just by himself.
Lou Finocchiaro, our guest for All the Money, Paulie and Mitch Vieson talking UFC here. And we always, you mentioned that you wrote about it, always beware of the public dog. Any thoughts on the main event, Rosenstrike plus 220 here at Circa?
Rosenstrike by 2018 had compiled a 68-14-2 record in kickboxing competitions. And in 2018, Gane just began to fight professionally. So the experience is way over to the Rosenstreich side. However, the physical attributes and the hype is on the Gane side of the octagon, if you will. What Gane has is 3 submission wins in his past records, and what Rosenstreich does not have is any ability to fight either in close quarters against the cage or on the floor. The reason I really didn't release anything on this fight was because there's not enough body of work for Gon. But what I expect Gon to do is show IQ. Why would he fight the more experienced man at his game at distance in a kickboxing match when they're both kickboxers? Gon's three submissions tell me he's going to go out there and put Rozenstruik on the ground. And if he does, I think he's in a very good position. If by the time we get to this main event, we got a few pennies in our pocket, Gon inside the distance right now at the Circa plus 110, that might be something to take a little look at.
Okay. And how excited are you, and how good is this card next weekend with UFC 259 and three title fights?
I've tried not to look at it, but it's going to be fire. There's one fight on there that's going to be for the bantamweight title. Peter Yan, the champion, against Aljamain Sterling. We'll talk about it next week, but Sterling's currently plus 120. He's a release I made weeks ago. I would invite readers, if they like Sterling, jump on him now, because I believe that could be much closer to minus 110 each way by next week.
Excellent knowledge, my man.
Yes.
You're the best. Love talking to you, and we'll do it again next week. Have a good weekend.
Thanks so much for the time, and good luck, everyone.
Of course.
Thanks, Lou.
Yep. So, to recap, Cachero in the plus 140 neighborhood, De La Rosa plus 120-ish, Kroom plus 175. Those are all full unit plays from Lou, and a half a unit on Yoder plus $3 in that range. Good. Can't wait. Another fight card. It's like golf and UFC. Look forward to it every single weekend. Matt, do we have this Big Ten tweet by chance that we can pop up? This is, I want to show you this because our discussion regarding the quarterbacks coming out this year and Justin Fields and whether or not he's going to go, you know, ahead of Wilson, behind Wilson, ahead of Lance, where that can go. Take a peek at this. This is from Pro Football Perspective. They tweeted out, "It never ceases to amaze me how few quarterbacks from the Big Ten have been drafted in the first round." That's it. That's the list going back to 1970.
Come on. I can't see the names.
Nine.
Who are the names?
Haskins.
Uh-huh.
Look at that. We went from 2019 to 1995.
Kerry,
in between.
Collins.
Yes, that's the last time a Big Ten quarterback was taken in the first round. Jeff George is on the list. Jim Harbaugh. Jim Everett. Chuck Long. Tony Eason.
Oh, my God.
I was stunned when I saw that list.
Is that Art Schleister?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Doing time.
And Mike Phipps in 1970 played at Purdue.
What?
I honestly, you can win a bar bet with that, or whatever kind of bet you want to get creative with your buddies. I would have, first of all, to only have that many again, I would have guessed double that probably. Like, gut reaction would have said, well, there's been 25 probably in the first round. No? And then to go from 1995 to 2019? Yikes. Stunner. That was a stone-cold stunner.
Give me, in the list, Jim Everett had a good career.
Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, Collins was a nomad, Vega, but he was all over the place. He went to a Super Bowl, but Collins.
How would you describe Jeff George?
The gunslinger.
Wasted brilliance?
Yeah, he had it all.
He had a chance to be one
what
of
an arm.
He had a chance to be an all-timer.
He came in and replaced Randall Cunningham the year after the Vikings won 15-1. They won a playoff game. Then he ran into the Rams. I think they lost 49-37, but
yeah.
The fight with June Jones and yeah.
It's too bad. All right. Good stuff. Fun week. It zipped by.
It was.
Good to be back from vacation. And a full slate of games again that we have coming up tonight. Monday's going to be a busy show. You be careful out there, huh? Careful on honking the horn.
Be careful.
Yeah. You never know what the person might have with them in the other car.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
Easy on that. You're a loose cannon.